any first-time visitors, we're glad you're here, and for this time we have a blessing for you as we gather in Jesus' name. We have a few announcements. This week is our last Sunday in our summer worship schedule, so next Sunday, Sunday school for all ages starts up again. We have stuff for the kids and adults starting at 9:30, and worship will be at 10:30 starting next Sunday. So set your calendars accordingly. Happening midweek this week, church board, a reminder, due to the Labor Day holiday, we won't be meeting tomorrow evening, but instead Tuesday evening this week, right here at the church at 7 p.m. Tuesday evening. And that's Tuesday evening is also the time for the Shady Oak Bible Study. Pastor Sean is leading that. You can see him for more information. And men's fellowship out at Zach's house. Zach in the back. Zach in the back. You want to say anything? Or just we're good. Okay, at Zach's place, 5 p.m. this Wednesday, men's fellowship, Bibles and Brats. And you can bring your Bible. I think Zach's bringing the brats. Is that right? Good deal. Thanks for the twin, Zach. So this is Wednesday, 5 p.m. Svunger and Messiah Lutheran Churches will be having a combined youth kickoff barbecue at Pebble Lake Beach this Saturday, September 9th. All middle school and high school students are invited to join in from 11:30 to 2 for grilled hot dogs and lawn games. I understand Coop is among the lawn games. It's a cool game. You'll have fun. Pastor Eric can be seen for more information on that. Okay, next Sunday, we already covered that. And if you have an offering and want to leave it, there's a plate in the back. You can put it in there after worship. Also, there's online options, or an online option for giving. You can see on the back of the bulletin for more information. Okay, couple more things not printed. Actually, this one is printed in your bulletin insert. We'll have Holy Communion offered during the worship service today. If you're visiting with us, I invite you to read that. And if you find yourself in agreement with our belief and practice, you are welcome to join at the Lord's table today. If you have questions about that, aren't sure, well, I'd be happy to visit with you about that after the service at any time. And we do have communion offered normally the first Sunday of every month, and also the second Sunday after the worship service. We usually meet over in the library there. So, again, if you have questions and aren't sure but want to find out about it for the future, please contact myself or Pastor Sean and Pastor Eric. We'll be happy to visit with you. There are also the Deacon Caring Fund. Every now and then we want to highlight that. We have an offering box in the back labeled as such. That's something our Deacon Board uses at their discretion to distribute to people in need, particularly people that are within the congregation or have some close connection to our congregation. Just a way of caring for one another and doing that in a discreet way to bless people in their time of need. So if you want to contribute to it, you can put something in there marked for the Deacon Caring Fund. And if you know of a need, let myself or one of the pastors know. We'd be happy to pass that along to the deacons. Have one more thing to share with you today. We got a postcard from the Hoshes, Ben and Sarah and their family, that are missionaries in Taiwan. And normally we highlight mission work on the third Sunday, but I thought we'd share this news while it's still fresh. Actually, I'm not sure how fresh it is, because it went by, you know, postal service across the world, but it's as fresh as we got it here, so here we go. Hi, Savunger friends. We are so thankful for you, for your prayers and encouragement. This year has been very busy, but it also has been a year of growth and seeing God's faithfulness. Taishang feels very much like home to us now. We are thankful for an encouraging school environment for our kids' activities. They enjoy, and a church that has been that has a missional mindset. Praise Jesus. Please pray as we prepare for our VBS in July. Okay, well, that dates a little bit there. We pray for the after effect. That we will make good connections and share Jesus, and for good weather and all the details to come together. We love seeing updates on Stavanger and love you all and praying for you, Ashes. So we'll have that posted so you can look at it on your own. All right, any announcements that should be made that I missed? Tammy, looks like you got something.
Good morning. We just got some new information from Inspiration Point. There's new retreat folders and both by both tables and then also underneath the iPoint board for you to check out. There's retreats for all ages coming up, and men and women. The men's retreat is actually September 15th and 16th. It's too late for the early registration discount, but you can still register and attend that. The Falls Women's Retreat is September 29th through October 1st, and early registration ends September 15th for that one. And then there's things for all ages for the kids, even starting at preschool. So check it out, and if you have any questions, let me know.
Thank you, Tammy. And just an additional note on that men's retreat, Zach and Pastor Eric are planning to attend that. So, guys, if you or someone you know might be interested in that, you can talk to them or me as well. And it's still time to sign up. Looks like a good event. Professor Dan Berge from Lutheran Brethren Seminary will be the featured speaker talking about the New Testament man. What does the New Testament say about being a man? Yes, sir.
Fellowship dinners, can you just remind people of that?
Yes. Typically, second Sunday of the month, we have a fellowship meal following worship, and that is next Sunday, and that starts up. So you can bring something to share, and if you've forgotten, you just show up. I've never seen us run out of food, so you can just come and eat and enjoy a time of fellowship. Next Sunday, fellowship meal after worship. All right. Well, let us move on to the main reason we came here is to worship our Lord and to hear His Word. Our call to worship from Psalm 26. Vindicate me, Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord and have not faltered. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for I've always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. Pause for a moment of silence. Let us pray. Lord, it is good to be here. It's good to be here mainly because you are here. We've gathered in your name and you promise that indeed you are present. And so we pray, Lord, you would, by your Spirit, soften our hearts, quicken our minds to receive your word today. Open our mouths to sing your praise. And you're going to be lifted up, for you alone are worthy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able to sing our opening hymn, How Great Thou Art. It's printed in the bulletin or in your hymnal or else on the screen in front of you.
Awesome wonder, unseen.
Scripture reading today from Romans chapter 12. The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God, the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." This is God's word. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Are there any additional prayer concerns that you'd like us to pray for together? Yes. Oh, that's a really good idea. Yes, the upcoming school year. It's that time, isn't it? Tuesday, right, kids? It's here. Yeah. Yay. Yeah. We'll pray about that, too. Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Any others? All right. Let us pray. Father, we come to you to give you thanks and praise, and also, Lord, to bring our concerns to you, where you bid us to do such, and to cast our cares upon you because you care for us, and to intercede for others according to their needs. And so we do this, Lord. We do think of the children returning to school, along with the teachers and staff, parents taking their young one for the first day, for the first time. Lord, we lift them all up to you, each with their own needs and concerns. We pray for safety. We pray for beneficial time for the children, as they may learn useful and helpful. We pray to give teachers wisdom and courage and endurance. We pray, Lord, for good friendships to be formed. We pray your comfort for parents who are seeing their child off for the first time. Pray for those who teach their kids at home, that you would help all of them, Lord. We pray also for the Hosh family. Lord, we thank you for the Vacation Bible School that happened in July. We pray, Lord, that the seeds of your word sown in those who attended, Lord, would take root and grow, that you would be at work in those children, pointing them to yourself. Pray your blessing on the Hosh kids as they go to school. And thank you, Lord, for the encouraging school environment that they have, Lord, that you've provided for them. Pray you help them, Lord, to share Jesus with their friends. And we pray for Ben and Sarah and their work, Lord, you guide them, protect them, grant their family good health. And thank you, Lord, that Taishan is feeling like home now. And we pray, Lord, that your word, the truth of the gospel, would find its home in the hearts of many in the country of Taiwan. We pray, Lord, for church planters here in North America. We pray for specifically for the church plant in Boston, Christian and Mary, for their block party on their street today, that they would meet and make new friends and deepen existing connections. Use them and the rest of their core team, Lord, to reach that community for you and to plant your church there among them. We pray, Lord, for those among us who are facing struggles of various types, whether it's physical or relational, emotional, financial. Lord, help us to be mindful of one another and how we might come alongside and bear one another's burdens and to rejoice with those who rejoice. We pray for our nation's leaders, our community leaders, that you would guide them in truth and righteousness, that they would, Lord, seek you and your wisdom and how to govern and do so in a way that's pleasing to you. We thank you for all these things and all your blessings, and lift up the concerns of our hearts to you, trusting them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Could you please rise for the reading of God's Word? We're going to be in Matthew 16 today. Not from verse 1, but from 21. Oh, there it is. Okay, so from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, there are some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Word of the Lord, you may be seated. Well, today, brothers and sisters, I'm going to call you to death. That doesn't mean your phones are going to be ringing on and off. That's not all what I'm saying. I'm calling you to contemplate and to think about death. And for this, we're going to be jumping into Romans quite a bit. If you would like to follow in Romans, you can, but otherwise I'll be giving you most of it. But we're going to work on here. So my aim, or you see, why we need to be called to death is because we live in a world where at every moment we're told, in every corner we're being told that we've been placed on this little planet for our own prosperity. We've been told that we ought to pursue our life, our liberty, and our happiness. And yet, at the end of that road, at least how we have taken it, is a great abundance of stuff, but also a great emptiness that hovers over our lands, pressing down on us like a thick, suffocating smoke. We have depression through the roof, drug abuse rampant, and our streets overflow with despair. We've been seeking life here on this earth and abundance at all costs, and yet it has resulted in death. We have great prosperity in our nations, and yet many are lacking. Many are lacking basic needs like comfort and love and a purpose in life. Many struggle and many suffer, often in silence. We have all the resources you could ever want to support life, and yet many have stopped living, becoming but a husk of humanity, too afraid to risk, too afraid of death, too accustomed to comfort. Life is all they want. They want comfort, life, and ease, and it's slipping from their hands. Abundant life has become our slow death. Our water is full of plastic, our air is full of toxins, and our food is full of chemicals. We sure do have a lot of junky food, most of which we throw out. There's a city in the Middle East called Dubai, and it's perhaps an example of this seeking life to the hilt, going after life in abundance as much as possible. They've constructed these dazzling, super tall towers. They've made man-made islands. And yet in the streets, there is death. There is those who are basically enslaved, malnourished, and lost. We build our little empires of us on the backs of others in pursuing life our way, our success at all costs. We leave the multitudes hungry and lost. We seek our own peace and leave others burdened. And we're too scared to reach out to others and proclaim the truth because we fear losing what little we have. We have the good news, but we fear telling of it because we're afraid of little deaths. We're afraid of scorn. We're afraid of ridicule. So we sit silent. We serve this great and mighty King of the universe who we know has all authority in heaven and on earth, who has commanded, not asked, that all come before and bow before God. And we worry about rejection. Our message truly is, arise, O Nineveh, and be not destroyed, for your wretchedness has reached the heavens, and we have a way out. Arise, O America, arise, O Canada, and come to the Lord. Yet our confidence in our great King, in his electing and preserving grace, is pressed in by the weeds of sin and by the pursuit of our own lives. Well, today God's word is calling us to turn back and repent from our evil ways. Today, God's word calls you to death. And so, in the beginning, right away in our text, we are called to death because only in Christ's death do you find life. Right? The beginning of our text calls for us to pay specific attention to our passage. Matthew is marking out that this is a very important turning point in Jesus' ministry. We see him say, from that time on, Jesus began. And the last time he said these exact same words was in chapter 4, where just after Jesus had left the wilderness and had defeated Satan and the temptation and began his ministry of teaching, right? This is a big moment, and now we have a new moment, right? He is turning and teaching something new. From here on out, though, the cross, as we mentioned before, the cross is going to become the main part of his message, right? He is going to teach that we need, that he needs to die. The word here is must, right? And it is necessary. This is something that has to happen. Jesus begins to reveal that he knows what is coming. He knows what must be done. And he sets his face to Jerusalem. He knows that that is where he must go. And that is where he will die a most horrific death for us and for our salvation. Well, what is necessary? He says three things are necessary. That he suffers. As Isaiah says, right? This Christ would come and he would be wounded for our transgressions. He would be bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. In our creed, we proclaim that he suffered under Pontius Pilate. We proclaim also that he went and suffered in hell. Why is this suffering so important to us that we proclaim it in our creed? Why must Jesus suffer? Well, he must suffer because we are not treated as we ought to be. Instead, God shows us mercy, for Christ has taken all our chastisement and borne all of our punishments. It is also necessary that you be called to hear that you must die. And here, I would like us to turn to Romans 5, where in verse 12 and following, we read, right, that just as sin entered the world through one man, and death came to all through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. And to be sure that sin was in the world before the law was given, and sin was not charged on account of the law, there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who sinned, who did not sin by breaking a direct command, as did Adam, whose pattern is of the one to come. Right? Death indeed is reigning and has pervaded through the whole human race. Indeed, death has become our ultimate reality, in which us men, us people, find ourselves. We are under its dominion because of the great rebellion by which our sorry race has engaged in. We're all placed under condemnation because of the one terrible act of insurrection. But that is not where it ends, right? In verse 15 we read, but there is a gift, but the gift is not like the trespass. For if many died, many had death by the trespass of one man. How much more did God's grace, the gift that came by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? And make no mistake, this gift, as we can read a bit earlier in this, was death. Jesus' death for our sake. Right? We, in Jesus, in him, we find death. But we find, paradoxically, not death, but life. Death did reign in the lives of all men under condemnation of Adam, but now in Christ, in his righteousness, reigns. And the result, as we can read in the last verses of chapter 5, right, the result is to bring eternal life through him and through his death. Finally, in our text, in our Matthew text, it proclaims that he must rise again. Why now must he also rise again? And of course, there's a bit of assurance that comes out of him conquering death. But there is this other aspect, right? Brothers and sisters, our old lives in Adam are barely lives at all. They are simply living deaths. We go about carrying the stench of sin and putting it on all that we touch. We are open tombs in our old lives, and out of our breath comes curses and hatred. We find in our hearts a pit of vipers. In our life, as old Adams, We are alive, so to speak, but only as orcs, rampaging, raging, and wrecking wherever we go. Thus Christ was risen, is risen, to new life, that we may too live, that we may be born again in the Spirit and begin to live a new life. Well, okay, some of you might ask, okay, so we're just being called again to hear about Jesus' death. I can carry on like normal, and Jesus has my back. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning? This is how we can think sometimes. God has my back, and he can go back to being far away again. I have my Jesus fire insurance. I'm all good. By no means. Today, you are called to death. You are called to death because only in our death do we find Jesus' life. So we can go just to Romans chapter 6 right after here, and I did already mention this part about this question that naturally arises. Should we sin now that grace has come? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Right? It is clear, Paul says, we cannot continue as we once did. Paul teaches that something has happened to you. Something has changed. And he asks this question, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. Brothers and sisters, we cannot just have Jesus' death separate from us. No, we must be joined to his death and make his death our death. All of us, each one of us who are baptized into Jesus, have been baptized into his death. We have been co-crucified, as Paul says elsewhere. In baptism, you were put to death. You put on Christ. It is no longer you who lives, but Christ. I'm afraid to say to your old Adams that in baptism, you were drowned, killed, and slain. And this just church has a long history of drowning people in the waters of baptism. And don't tell the police or the Delaney's over there, but a lot of people have mysteriously died here. Right? So let's just hold up for a second and think about what this death means to us. In your baptism, you die. You're dead. You put on Christ. You are granted forgiveness, the promises, an abundant life, and the assurance of God's loving kindness toward you. In this, we are called to trust. This should change our lives. There's a book series that I read when I was much younger, before I was a Christian, if anyone has a problem with the series, called Game of Thrones. And it's definitely has lots of things going on in there, but there's something really interesting. And you see this sometimes with literature from unbelievers, how God can somehow work these things in, right? In this series, there's a group of people renowned for their strength and their fearlessness in battle. They are brave in the face of death. They're called the Iron Islanders. What's baffling about this section of literature written by a non-believer is he seems to understand baptism better than we do sometimes. You see, for the Iron Islanders, they have a rite of passage. They are drowned in the sea and then brought back to new life afterwards. You see, then what this means for them is they have this motto, dead men cannot die. Their belief is that they have already died, and now they can live without fear in the service of their king and of their nation, and thus they have unmatched courage and bravery. Now, brothers and sisters, I take a risk mentioning Iron Islanders, former Vikings. I do not want you guys to pick up swords and go and raid North Dakota at all. Or perhaps get on ships and go across Superior and visit Canada. Definitely stay away. But God is calling you. He's calling you to see yourself as dead and raised to new and imperishable life, unquenchable life in Christ Jesus.
to trust in this with your whole heart, and to know that you are His and He has you no matter what. This trust, and I know, brothers and sisters, our feeble hearts struggle too often. But this trust, this faith, is bound to bring a revolution in your life, a transformation in your story. You need not be afraid of your enemies and the trials of this world, Satan and his host, and all the unrighteous can take everything from you. They can encompass you around about and stretch out their hands against you. But as we read in Jeremiah, in those moments, you're called to turn to your God and trust that He will deliver you and save you. He promises that He will deliver you from the clutches of the wicked, and He shall rescue you from the grasp of the ruthless. So truly, you are called to the death of your baptism today, your union with Christ, and to trust in it and walk fearlessly, because truly, dead men cannot die. And you are certainly held secure by your Father. Now, okay, maybe we're just talking about a very spiritual and private thing. I can do this in my own life and just focus on making myself better. I can face my trials and work with courage and bravery, be empowered to clean myself up a bit. But I can kind of live with that kind of spiritual death. So long as I can still look after myself, right? I can still seek after the things of this life. I mean, I did just kind of give you an off there to maybe go and be Vikings again. Me and the prices are getting high, and, you know, the whole Viking thing might be a good option. But by no means, brothers and sisters, because we are called to death today. Because only in your daily death to self do you truly become alive to your neighbor. Let's go back to our main text here and just see what's happened and why we need to have a total and radical change of perspective as to how we are to live our lives. Jesus tells his followers that he has to die. And Peter, right away, just like us, thinks, and maybe he's thinking he's trying to be nice and good here, and he's probably not expecting Jesus' rebuke right away. He's trying to look out for the best for Jesus. He says, "Oh, no, Lord, please don't let that be." And he says, basically, he's saying, "Mercy to you, Jesus." But Jesus does not see this as a minor thing. He sees this as absolutely problematic. Peter is thinking and thus acting like Satan. He is seeking after his own ideas and his own version of glory. Peter, we must get out of the way. He is still thinking thoughts of men and not the thoughts of God. He is still trying to preserve his earthly life and seek earthly gain and glory. Jesus clears this all up for us, and he tells us what a disciple is supposed to be like. As we heard in Romans 12, we need not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the Word of God and hear the very Word of God speaks. A follower of Jesus must renounce himself. Our lives, believe it or not, were never meant to be about us for the other. We are not called to be authentic to ourselves, to who we are. The orcs that we tend to be aren't very nice when they're authentic to who we are. We are rather rude and wicked. The only thing you and your old Adam is called to be, the only thing we are called to do is to die and follow Jesus. If we seek our own life, we will surely lose it. But if you seek to be servants of Jesus and thus lose your lives, lose your possessions, lose your earthly glory, but look rather and instead to the city made without hands, then you will certainly find life. This, as Romans 12 says, is our true worship, our liturgy, right? Our sacrifice, our entire lives dedicated to serving our neighbor and loving others. God is calling each of us to lay down our lives, calling us to death, knowing full well that we are in His hands and our hope is not in big fancy houses or nice cars or whatever you might fancy, but it is in the kingdom of God. God isn't calling for your leftovers, your 1 hour on Sunday. He's calling you again and again to die. And you are dead. As I've said, you have been baptized. You are not there anymore. You are to be like Christ, right? You are to conform to what you already are. Bring your life again to be sacrificed to Him in light of His abundant love for you, in which He forgave you everything. You are called to live a sacrificial life, a life of sacrificial love toward your neighbor, and trust wholly in Jesus' name. I mean, it is evident in the words of Scripture, sacrifices die. To pick up your cross means to die. Go left, go right, go up, go down. And you'll find God there saying, hey, you need to lose your life and find it in me. Come, follow me. It is this life of sacrificial death which is detailed for us in Romans reading today again. And we can just briefly think about some of the things that we were called to there. Consider this cross life. Esteem others more than yourselves. Give alms. Practice hospitality. Just in those few things, right? We have to seek the other. My glory does not matter. I'm dead. I don't matter. I'm of little import. But my brother, oh man, how can I make him blessed beyond belief? How can I shower love upon him? Give of your resources. The money in your bank accounts is not for you. It's for your neighbors, for those around you. The chairs in your house, the dinner plates in your cabinets, they're not just for you. They're for those around you. They're to share and to give to others, to invite others to come into your house and partake of your food. Paul also says, never pay back evil for evil. Never seek revenge. Why seek revenge? You are dead. And God is good. Trust in Him. He will surely deliver you, and He will have justice, ultimately. In our humility, in our weakness, we are not supposed to call and figure out how we are supposed to enact justice, in a sense, for ourselves. We are too weak for that. We call and look upon Christ. Our job is to love those who curse us, love even those who hate us. Let not the evil of man conquer you, but use good to conquer evil, Paul says. This is the way of the cross, a way of life lived for the other, a life of self-denial. Now, brothers, truly, we all fall short of this. We can all pray that we can strive to live such lives, but thanks be to God that today we share in the supper. For my sins are many. Your sins are many. Our own ambition gets in the way. Our pride is great. And day by day, that old Adam is still trying to crawl out of that grave. He's still trying to come and do damage. Thanks be to God that He holds us so tight in His hand and has forgiven truly all of our sins on the account of Jesus, whose body was broken for us and whose blood was poured out for us for the forgiveness of our sins. May we truly each day rise out of our beds and say to ourselves, I am dead, and Christ lives in me. Lord, grant that I might be a sacrifice, I might sacrifice myself for my neighbors today. But each night, let us come back to the waters of baptism and the promises of our Heavenly Father and rest our heads, knowing that in Christ, in Jesus, we are righteous, forgiven, and loved. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You call us to death. Lord, You call us to pick up our cross. Lord, we know that many times we fall short of that and we struggle with that, Lord. Lord, we thank You that Christ has borne our iniquities, has borne our chastisement, and has brought us eternal life. Father, help us to rest secure in that. Help us to look towards our neighbors in love because of Your great love for us. Lord, bless the rest of the service and bless our lives that we may be transformed into living sacrifices to spread Your love throughout our neighborhoods and our cities and towns. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Sean. Let us sing our closing chorus. Go now in peace. Forever and ever. Amen.